Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and this is another Tuesday Teaching Tip. Today we're talking about speaking the text, how we read the passage upon which we will be preaching or teaching on, how we read it, not just how we understand it and how we explain it, but how we read it. For most of us, as we're preaching and teaching, we will read our own text. Sometimes we'll have somebody else read it for us, and that's a whole other story. I do think occasionally that can be very helpful, by the way. It can add a freshness to the reading. Perhaps you've read it many times, but you give it to somebody who's not read it so often, they may read it in a different way, in a fresh way. I particularly like to have preteens or teenagers read if they're in the audience or the congregation. They bring a freshness to it, partly because they probably don't know the passage very well, or maybe it's the first time they've ever read it, or the first time they've at least read it in public, and they don't tend to bring a long history of having read it with them. So that can be very helpful, but most of the time we're probably reading it ourselves. Why is it important to consider how we read? Well, consider this. You've probably heard it done, and I think I've probably done it myself, where the passage has sometimes been read in a rather boring way. In other words, something like, one Sabbath Jesus was going through the grain fields and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Jesus answered them, and it goes on like that. And there seems to be no connection between the passage and the heart and the mind of the person reading it. And that's significantly problematic. Because if there's no apparent connection between the passage and the heart and the mind of the person who's speaking it, then why should the people listen to us, explain it and teach it? If we want this to have an impact on their hearts and minds, it should at least be obvious that it's having an impact on our heart and mind as we read it, not just as we teach it, because this is actually the point. Here is the text. Here is the power of God. Here is the wisdom of God. And it needs to be obvious that it's having an immediate impact on us if we're going to convince others of its relevance and its power for them. So it is important how we read. If it doesn't sound like it's important to us, how can it be important to other people? If it doesn't sound like this is having we have conviction, then why should the conviction carry to other people? So some of us may say, well, I'm not a trained reader, I'm not an actor, I just do well to read it. I find reading a struggle. Well, fair enough. And perhaps that's an even stronger reason to ask somebody else to read it. I would give them notice, not just jump it on them, but maybe that's good. But there are times we need to read it, and I think it's good for us to read it to demonstrate this conviction and significance of what we're reading. So how can we make it, how can we improve the way that we read? Here's a couple of thoughts. When I was at university, I studied music, I studied opera studies, I did a little bit of drama. I was rubbish at the drama, but I learned a lot from the classes I went to, as uncomfortable as they often were. And one of the classes was called Speaking a Text, in which we learned a speech from Shakespeare or something like that. And then we went through a number of exercises, and one of them was reciting the speech, the text, whilst emphasizing one particular category of words while we're reading it. So not reading it all in one particular tone or with one particular understanding, but reading it with emphasis on certain words. And I'd like to demonstrate this. It might be easier to demonstrate than to talk about. So this coming Sunday, I'm preaching on Luke 15, verses 1 to 7. And what I won't read it like this on the day, but in preparation to help me, actually it helps with the understanding of the text as well as how to read it. One can emphasize different words. So for example, people. You might emphasize all the people words. Now when we did this in the class, we had to shout the words. And in fact, I think we might have been lying on our backs with our arms and legs in the air, shaking them. I don't necessarily recommend that you have to do it this way, but something like this. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them, this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. That's one way of doing it. Another way is to emphasize more of the action words. For example, again, Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." And so on. And you can go through a passage like this emphasizing places, people's names, verbs, nouns, anything you like, really. And then, of course, look at where the pauses might come. But that's we've had other recordings and podcasts on that. So why not try that? I know it sounds a bit stupid. I think I look a bit stupid doing it like this. But if you do that in the privacy of your own home, somewhere quiet maybe, I think what you'll find is different nuances will come out of the text for you. And then when you read it yourself to other people, when you're about to preach and teach it, something of that will come out. It will be more alive, more real, more rounded, more 3D, more technicolor than it was before. So what do you think about that? Obviously, we need to bring it back a bit to normal when we do it in public at the moment when we're going to be preaching and teaching. But this kind of rehearsal, this kind of practice, this kind of way of doing, of looking at it and reading it can be very helpful for us to get more into what it's saying and let it strike our hearts and our minds. And therefore, we hope it will strike the hearts and minds of the people who are listening. So what are your thoughts about this? Do you have ways yourself of helping a text to come alive to you so that when you read it, it actually has more impact? Perhaps you've seen it done particularly well by other people. Please let us know if you have and what you've seen that seems to work. You can email me your ideas to mccx@mac.com, or you can leave a message anywhere you hear or see this recording. I'd be very grateful if you would click that subscribe button and tell your friends if you find the recordings helpful. But until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. God bless.